Amen. Let's get right into the Word this morning. Amen. That's what we're here for, right? We're going to be in John chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be on the board. And if you read ahead, I want you to know how much more you will get out of this message if you read the Word of God ahead. We're in chapter 9 this week. Where are we going to be next week? All right, we're going to finish chapter 9 this week. Where are we going to be next week? It doesn't. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out, right? But here's what I want you to know, man. If you read ahead, man, you're going to get so much more out of the Word of God. Are you following me? All right, so today's title is Jesus Heals a Man That Was Born Blind. Amen? So before we get started, here's what I want you to know. In the Old Testament, it tells us where the Messiah would come from. It tells us that he would be born of a virgin. He would be from Nazareth. But it also tells us in the Old Testament what he would do when he came, things that he would say when he came. Amen? Let me read one to you from Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Now here's the deal. We seen Jesus do all of that here in the Gospels. Did we not? All of it. Let me read another one to you. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. Listen. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Talking about Jesus, the Messiah. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Amen. You're Gentiles. Say amen. To open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Here's what I want you to see. The first one I read to you was physical, literal. The second one I read to you was spiritual. Are you following me? So did Jesus come and open the eyes of the blind? Absolutely. Did he unstop the ears of the deaf? Yes. All right, so did he come and set the captives free? Yes. If not, you're not free. I am free, though. So he did do that. So here in these two verses, and that's why I picked them, I want you to see it tells us 700 years before the Messiah came, some of the things that he would do when he came. And that's what Jesus is doing. And I want you to see that as we go through this. And I want you to remember John chapter 20, verse 31. I don't have it on the board, but it says that John says this. He said, I write these things that you may know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why John wrote this book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You follow me? All right. So if you got your Bibles, let's pick it up in John chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and it starts out as he went along. If you remember, he just left the temple. And what were they trying to do? They picked up stones, and they were going to stone him. But Jesus, it says, slipped away. He always slips away. He's got that power, you know what I mean, to slip away. Sometimes I wish I could slip away. How about you? All right. Along, he saw a blind man. He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work. We must do the work of him who sent me. The night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he reiterates what he said back in John 8:12, that he is the light of the world. If you remember, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen? So here we meet a man born, not just a man born blind, born blind, been born all of his life. You know, this man's life would have been filled with challenges, wouldn't it? You know, he would have never got to see his loved ones' faces. He would have never got to see a sunrise or a sunset. You know, he wouldn't even be able to go places or navigate without assistance. Do you know that? Amen? I mean, his whole life would have been a struggle. And as we get into the story, you'll see that what this man did was sit along the road and beg. So the condition that he had, the blindness that he had reduced him to a beggar. But I want you to notice something, because the disciples, it was the disciples that asked Jesus, said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" This question reveals a common misconception of this day and this time and in this culture. You could call it a tradition that was passed down through the generations. Because I want you to know, the Pharisees believe this too, but this is not the Pharisees. This is the disciples who asked Jesus this question. So, back in that time, a misconception was that physical ailments were either a part because of your sin or the sin of your parents. And they seen it as a curse. Amen? Now listen, before I read Ezekiel, it makes it absolutely clear. Here's what I want you to know. If you were, let's say, let me give you an example. If you're a husband and you're a sorry husband, you're a drinking alcoholic husband who doesn't treat your wife right, listen to me, your son will see that and he'll think that that's the way it's supposed to be done, and he will repeat your actions. That, in that way, you can pass down sins. You follow me? But here's what I want you to see. And these guys would have had this truth as well. But sometimes it's very hard to see the truth when our traditions are so strong. You follow me? Well, that can't be right because I've always been told this. Well, that when I say that can't be right, I'm talking about the Word of God. Listen to me, I don't care what you think, the Word of God is always right. It just is. Amen? All right. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, listen to what he says. It's black and white, no way to misunderstand or mistranslate this. Listen, the one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. Amen? So listen, yes, you can pass sins and stuff like that, like I talked about, down fathers to your sons like that, and mothers to your daughters as well. But listen, they are going to be judged because they had the choice to make, just like the dad had the choice to make. Amen? So we're looking at one from a physical perspective, and Jesus is talking from a spiritual perspective. You follow me? All right. So disciples, they see this man born blind, and of course, because their traditions and their beliefs and those traditions are so strong, the first thing they see is a blind man. And they think either he sinned or his parents sinned. But I want you to see something. Jesus saw something different. And here's why. The disciples are looking through fleshly eyes. Jesus is looking through spiritual eyes. Amen? Jesus saw an opportunity for God's work to be displayed, right? He saw a person in need of a healing. Isn't it amazing? The disciples walk by and Jesus is walking with them. One group sees a sinner and one of them sees a need for healing. That's the difference in perception. And I want you to know something else as we go through the book of John. Even as far as we've been up to the book of John from this point, Jesus is teaching these disciples. And this is a beautiful teaching moment right here. It is, man. It is a beautiful, beautiful teaching moment. I want you to think about it, because the difference in perception is very striking, right? Because they saw a curse, right? They saw, they were quick to judge, quick to condemn, but Jesus saw an opportunity for God's glory and God's power to be displayed. Now, here's the difference. Here's what I want you to know. The perception made all the difference. Not only did the perception make all the difference, but the perception decided which action they would take. You follow me? Because listen, the disciples, had Jesus not been there, they would have walked right on by that dude. Because all they see is a sinner. Jesus, using this to teach us too, not just his disciples, right? He saw something different. He saw a person who had a need. Perception is everything, because how you perceive something is going to determine the action that you take in that situation. Amen? Listen, that's what I always tell you. We no longer see things from a worldly perspective. Everything in our life needs to be seen through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, because there is a huge difference in the two. Are you following me? A huge difference. So perception is everything. They judged, Jesus healed. That's huge. Amen? And it all came down to perception, how we perceive something. All right, I want to talk to you about verse 4 before we move on, because Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Here's what Jesus is saying, because this is another teaching moment. He's saying, I'm not going to be here forever. You know, he knew his time was limited, and he had to get done what he needed to get done. But listen, he's telling that to the disciples. So he's telling that to you and me. Listen, the Bible says your life is what? But a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. You and I only have so much time to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We only have so much time for us to serve and be a part of and further the kingdom of God. And I want you to know something. It'll be over before you know it. Don't get to the end and have regrets. Amen? Because just like Jesus said, there's coming an hour when no one can work. That means you, and that means me. Amen? You know what? The Bible says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal. Listen, I encourage you to not spend your entire existence storing up treasures on this earth where moth and rust do corrupt and thieves do break in and steal. And by the way, we'll all be burned up in fire. But spend your time in working for and working in and furthering the kingdom of God, because in the end, that's all that's going to matter. That is all that's going to matter. Amen? All right. I want to show you a picture before we get going, because if I can somehow put a picture in your mind of what's taking place, I think I can help you in picturing that in your mind's eye. So this is what's going to happen. Jesus is going to spit on the ground. He's going to make some mud, right? He's going to put that mud on his fingers, and he's going to put it on the guy's eyes. Anybody want? Can I try that on somebody? Huh? Would you let Jesus do it? All right, so try to remember that picture. I'll bring it up again in a minute here, but this is what's going on. The guy's blind. You see the mud on his eyes? Okay. After saying this, he spit. Now, listen, somebody, what does it sound like when you spit? Nobody wants to do it? Right? I want you to notice something. When I'm reading this and I'm picturing these guys are walking by and Jesus stops and he spit. That's a pretty good one, right? That was a loogie. Wow, that was a good one there, man. Was that you? No? It was one of your opinions. So listen, Jesus walks and he stops, right? And he spits. Can you almost see this blind man? Because he'd been spit on before, make no mistake about it. Because these people believe he was a sinner or his parents were sinners. So when he heard that noise, I can almost see him, you know what I mean, reacting to somebody making that sound, because he'd been spit on before probably many, many times. So it says here, Jesus spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. God, go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. The word means sent. I love that. Siloam means sent, so you have the one who sent, who's sending the guy to the place called sent to get his healing. Come on, that's beautiful. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked. I don't know, he said. Jesus is good about that sometimes, isn't it? Doing something, then just not showing, staying around to take the credit. Amen? So the blind man, I love it to see, he didn't question Jesus. He never says anything. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of freak out if I was blind. Somebody started putting mud on my eyes. Right? But he doesn't react that way. He doesn't doubt Jesus' ability to heal. He simply obeyed. He simply did, followed the instructions that Jesus gave him, walked, got up, probably was escorted, unless the pool of Siloam was nearby, went to the pool of Siloam and washed his eyes. And can you just stop for a minute and think how elated this guy would have been? Come on. He'd never seen before. He would have been jumping around and happy and joyful. But here's what I want you to see. He did just what Jesus said. He obeyed Jesus by faith, and his faith was rewarded with sight. Amen? What a great picture. What a great picture, man. So Jesus healed a lot of people, didn't he? More than you and I can count. Because a lot of times it says, Jesus healed all that came to him. Jesus healed the multitude. So there's no way that you and I can have an exact number of how many people Jesus healed. But it was a lot of people that Jesus healed. Here in the book of John, we've seen him heal the nobleman's son. Remember? He healed him without even going to the nobleman's house. We also seen him walk by that man who had been an invalid for 38 years and say, hey, get up, take up your mat, and walk. And what did he do? Well, he did just that. If you'll remember in other places in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood, right? Peter's mother-in-law, the Bible says in Luke that he spoke to that fever and it left her. Amen? We also have the men with leprosy, demons that he cast out, the deaf and the dumb and the mute that he healed. Amen? He raised people from the dead. And when you stand back and you look at all the healings that he did, it's fair to say that he used different or a variety of methods. But when you stand back and look at him, there was two things that didn't change. His power and his heart. His power and his heart. Amen? He loved them people. He loved them people. And he had the power to heal them people. Man, what a beautiful picture that is, right? So, but here, as we look, he does one of the perhaps, in my opinion, one of the most strangest things he ever did in a healing. Now listen, he stoops down, spits in the ground, makes mud, and puts it on the eyes of this man. Let me show you that picture. I blew it up a little bit, man. You see that, right? So it just seems strange that Jesus would do this. But you know what? When you stop and think about it, it's not strange at all. Let me tell you why. This is not new to Jesus. Jesus has done this before. Amen? Thousands of years ago. Listen to me. Anybody remember what John 1 says? It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? And He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made, and there was nothing made that wasn't made by Him. Are you following me? Who is that? That is Jesus. So you mean Jesus was there in the beginning when God was creating everything? Yes, because He's God. Amen? All right, follow me here. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, then the Lord God formed a man from the what? Dirt. Dust, yes. Of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living being. Here's what I want to show you. I went out in my backyard and I got some of the stuff I made up. Literally. Dirt. You get that, right? I'm made from this, baby. Look at this. What can you make out of that? Can you make your own dirt? No, you cannot make your own dirt. You can use God's dirt, but you can't make your own dirt. But man, son of a gun. You know what? This is where I came, And guess where I'm going back to? So as I was reading through this, I want you. This mud that he made. It was not a magical mud that Jesus put in someone's eyes. Follow me here just for a second, because this is the Creator recreating a broken man. Listen, if the man was created out of dirt, why would he not use dirt to recreate something the man didn't get? Come on, man! Sure, because whatever part of the dirt he didn't get that made the eye, that's the part Jesus gave him. Listen, Jesus is not only the Creator, he is the recreator. Because that's what he's doing here. You follow me? Now listen to me. I want to show you in the New Testament how he's the recreator. We all know this verse. It's a common verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? What? New? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So what was Jesus doing here? Because it says in Christ, right? Listen, in the Garden of Eden, we lost fellowship with God, and we lost it because of sin. Am I right? But in Christ, we have been recreated. Come on. We are a new creation. The old is gone, and we are what? New. All things become new. We have been recreated into what we were, what Adam was in the beginning. Amen? Anybody need an eye? Huh? I got the eye stuff here. You need a limb? I don't know how to separate it, though, to give you what part you need. I don't have it, man. I don't have it. But I know who does. Isn't it amazing? So it ain't so strange that God would use dirt to make a guy's retinals or whatever he needed, because that's what he made it with in the beginning. Listen, when you're walking around and you're walking out in your yard and you see dirt, I want you to remember something. That's what you were made from. And that's where you're returning to. And you have this little bit of window that God has given you to further the kingdom of God. Please, please, you will thank me in heaven if you will take that time and use it for the further of heaven. Amen? All right. Let's go on. Verse 13 through 16. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind, of course. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes, oh my goodness, it was a Sabbath. These people are arrogant, legalistic, wicked people. You remember what Jesus told them last week in John 8:44? He said, you are of your father, the devil, man. And you seek to do his works, man. It shines through right here that they are definitely from their father, the devil. All right. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him, speaking of the man born blind, how he had received his sight. And he tells them, he put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. It's amazing to me how blind some people are. Because the Messiah, here he is, standing right in front of them, the bread of life, the light of the world, right? Right in front of them, and they cannot see. Had they seen, I want to read something to you from Mark chapter 2, verse 27, 28. And this is what Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Verse 28, so the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Why is he the Lord of the Sabbath? Anybody know? Because he's the one that created it. He's the one that instituted it. All the things that Jesus is doing, these Pharisees would have known. They're waiting on the Messiah. You know that, right? They're waiting on him. And here this guy comes, Jesus, doing all the things the Bible said he would do, but they just cannot see it. Man, that's blind right there, my friends. That is pretty blind. So it's amazing to me because the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of, of people. You follow me? The Sabbath was set aside for a day of rest, a day to worship, a day to praise, or whatever. And to think that you couldn't heal a person that had been born blind on the Sabbath day is absolutely ridiculous and legalistic and arrogant and so many more names that I can't even say in this setting or in any setting. Amen? All right, let's read on. Chapter 9, verse 16 through 34. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? Here's your sign. Right? He can't. So what should that tell him? He's the Messiah. Golly. So they were divided. Wow. You know what? I want you to notice this. And I brought this up many weeks ago when we started John. Everywhere Jesus goes, he brings division. Everywhere he goes, he brings division. Why? Because he said that's what he came for. If you look in Luke, he tells you in Luke chapter 12, I did not come to bring peace. Jesus says that. I came to bring division. Father against son, mother against daughter, in-law against in-law. I came to bring division. Who is that division? Jesus is that division. He said this, you are either for me or you are against me. Amen? And you know what? There's a line right there, but here's what I want you to know. You can't be on the line and be for him. Amen? You know what happens when you're on the fence? Lukewarm, they call it. What did Jesus say? I will vomit you out of my mouth. You are either for Jesus this morning or you are against Jesus this morning. But make no mistake, he came to bring division. So listen to me. I know perhaps you have some division in some of your families. That's what Jesus came for. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Keep loving them. Amen? Hopefully they'll come around. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But if you don't ask them or tell them, the percentages are going to drop way down. Amen? All right. Then they turned to the blind man. What have you to say about him? Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. Was Jesus a prophet? He wasn't a prophet. He was the prophet. Not only was he a prophet, he was a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Not only was he a priest, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not only was he that, he was also what? The Son of Man, the Son of God, and Creator God, and the Redeemer of the world. He's got so many names, so many titles. Amen? So yes, he was a prophet. This man was not wrong. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Listen, in today's world, when you are facing people who cannot see the truth, they will do everything in their power to find a way to bring it into their narrative and their agenda. If you haven't seen that in the last 4 years, you really are blind. Amen? Because these Pharisees are still alive and well today. And they're still doing the exact same thing. Is this your son, they asked. Is this the one who you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? We know he is our son. That's good. The parents answered. And we know he was born blind. But how can he see now, and who opened his eyes? We do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. You know what, man? You think right here these parents would be jumping up and down. They'd be joyful. They'd be praising God because their son who had been born blind could now see. And they'd be praising the person that did it, whether they knew who it was or not. But you don't see that here. Why? Let's read on. His parents said this because they were afraid. Listen to me. Never let fear stop you from praising God. I don't care who you are. God does something, I'm going to praise him. I don't care what company I'm in. So they did it because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. My goodness, man, you talk about wicked, corrupt people. Come on. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Don't be that parent. Next, verse 24. A second time, they summoned the man who has been born blind. They didn't get enough the first time? No, because they haven't got the answers yet that fits their agenda and their narrative. So they just keep plugging away. They call the blind man to them again for the second time. And they say this, "Give glory to God by telling the truth." Let me rephrase that. Tell us what we want to hear that fits our agenda and our narrative. Come on. Don't you hear that today? Come on, just tell me the truth. But I want to make sure your truth fits my truth and my narrative. Yeah. We know this man is a sinner. Clearly they don't know who they're talking about, do they? He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Come on, somebody should say amen. Because if you've ever been blind, spiritually blind, but now you can see, that's a great way, reason to say amen. "I was blind, but now I see." They asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I told you already. Don't you listen?" I love that. Right? That's kind of a bold, sarcastic, and it gets a little better, actually. He answered, "I told you already. Do you not listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Right on, dude. Right. And you know, he can see him now, man. You know what I mean? He's looking at him in the eye now. All right, where am I at? Verse 28. Then they hurled insults at him. Come on, man. When their narrative and their agenda can't be met, or your truth will not verify or validate their truth, the next thing they do is what? Criticize and attack you with names and insults. And you know what? "Blessed is he who is persecuted for my name's sake," Jesus said, "for he shall inherit the kingdom of God." Amen? So when I stand on the truth and they insult me, hallelujah. Right? That just means I'm doing something right. That means I'm doing something right. All right. You are this fellow's disciples. We are the disciples of Moses. Well, last chapter, they were the disciples of Abraham. Right? Children of Abraham. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Well, listen to me, Pharisee, if you'd have done your homework, right? If you'd done your homework, you'd know where he came from. You know he came from Nazareth, and that's where Jesus came from. That's where the Messiah was supposed to come from. If you'd done your homework, and they'd have known this. I want you to know, they would have known this. Amen? You ever known the truth and didn't do it? Only two of you? Huh? You ever known the truth and didn't do it? Yeah, we all have. I don't care who you are. We all have done things that we knew were against God's word. Amen? All right. The man answered. Now that is remarkable. That's a little bit of Bruce humor right there. Now that is remarkable. Can't you just hear this guy? I mean, he's happy and joyful too. So he's, now that's remarkable. "You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes." I love this guy. I love his boldness. Listen, this guy went from a man who was blind, who needed assistance, who couldn't get around, never seen his loved ones. He was blind and struggled and a beggar, right? To being healed by Jesus and standing firm in his boldness that Jesus healed him. His parents wouldn't do that. Why? Because of fear. This guy has none of that. I love this guy. He's simply standing on the truth. Let's go on to verse 31. "For we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will." When you listen, I want to repeat that because I want you to catch something. We know, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's bringing them into this "we," is he not? So he's saying, "Hey, you Pharisees, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but listens to the godly person who does his will." And that's true. This blind man is actually quoting Scripture. Now, whether he was quoting Isaiah 1:15 or Psalm 66:18 or another verse, but the Old Testament clearly says God does not hear sinners. And you know that's still true today? God will only hear one prayer of a sinner. Anybody know what that prayer is? The prayer of repentance. Amen. And there, you know, we as Christians, the Bible tells us too, there are times when God doesn't hear our prayers as well. Amen. But he'll always hear that prayer of repentance. Amen. All right. Verse 32. No one has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. True story, right? To this they replied. Listen to their reply to this man, because this is what happens to you and me when we stand on the truth. You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Man, the arrogance of these people, right? Amen? These religious leaders refused to accept the truth of this man's healing. They interrogate him, question him, question his integrity, his sanity, even his identity. But the man stands firm and testifies. I don't know if this man's a sinner or not, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I just want to be in that picture. I want to be in that picture and listen to this guy. Still not satisfied, they bring the guy's parents in. Hey, is this your son? Yeah, it's my son. Was he born blind? Yeah, he was born blind. They can't deny that it's their son, and they can't deny that he has been delivered or a miracle has happened and he is no longer blind. You know why? You can't rationalize away a touch from Jesus. Come on. You can't explain away a touch from Jesus. And here's why. It's real. It's genuine. And when you have a real touch from Jesus, it changes your life. It changes your life. Amen. Now, he changed your life when you got saved, didn't he? Has he changed your life in any way since? Oh, many times. In many ways. Come on. Every day. Every single day. Amen. All right. Can you imagine being thrown out of the fellowship because you had a touch from Jesus? Can you imagine being thrown out of the church because Jesus on you did a miracle? Can you imagine that? Oh, you got saved? Get out. Right? You received a miracle from God? Well, you can't get out. You were steeped in sin at birth. You can't be here. Amen? You say, Pastor, there ain't no churches like that out there. Oh, there's churches out there that if I preached some of the messages I preached here, preached them there, they would take up stones to stone me. I just want you to know, even though it was the truth of God. Amen. They don't want to hear all that. They're just like these Pharisees. If it don't meet their agenda and it don't meet their narrative, they don't want to hear it. They're going to insult you, and they're going to throw you out of the places that they can throw you out of, because that's the way. Well, that's what evil does. Amen? All right, let's finish up verses 35 through 41, and then we'll be done. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him." What do you mean he's seen him? Yeah, you can see him. "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and worshiped him. Lord, I believe, and worshiped him. Did Jesus receive that worship? Oh, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, hear the arrogance here, what? Are we blind too? To which Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim, everybody say claim. Claim you can see, your guilt remains. Man, so the man, I want you to notice something in this section. The man is thrown out of the church, thrown out of the synagogue, am I right? But Jesus finds him. Jesus finds him. Not, and when he finds him, he reveals himself to him, and the man worships him. Jesus, is, in this story, he's not just the healer. He is the one who seeks us out. He is the one who reveals himself to us, and he is the one that invites you and I to worship him. Amen? The religious leaders said, get out. You can no longer worship in this synagogue. Jesus said, I will receive your worship. And listen, if you guys, for you theologians, you Bible, avid Bible readers out there, we know that no man or no angel or no person in the Bible ever received worship. The fact that Jesus received this worship is just further proof that he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. Amen? I want to read this last verse to you again because a lot of people have trouble with this verse. So I want to put it in green eggs and ham language. Everybody know what that is? Dr. Seuss language, yes. So in verse 40 and 41, let me go back a little bit. Put 40 and 41 up, but I'm going to go back and read. All right. For judgment I have come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. And then the Pharisees say, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And it does sound a little bit confusing, so let me break it down to you. Those who are willing to admit their spiritual blindness can find their sight in Jesus. They can be forgiven, and they can be set free. Amen? But those who falsely claim to have spiritual sight are blind, and their sins and their guilt remains. Are you following me? Have you ever been so self-deceived? Because I want you to know I have. That I would shut my eyes, or you would shut your eyes to the light of the world that is Jesus Christ. Because here's what I want you to know. That is a desperate place to be in. Amen? To not believe in anything has got to be a miserable place to be. I want you to know something this morning. The light is here. Come on. The light is here. Jesus is here this morning. But if people refuse to open their eyes to it and instead deliberately reject it, then how can they be enlightened? And that's why Jesus says, your sins remain, or your guilt remains. And what he's really saying there is, your sins remain, and you will have to pay the price for them yourself. And that does not end well. Amen? All right, let's wrap it up. Give me the title back up there. Here are the high points of this man and this story in here. Spiritual perspective. How we see something is going to determine how we act. You understand that, right? That is so important in the church today. So important in the church today. Time is short. You may be 25, you may be 75. But listen, I want you to know time is short. And I'm 60 now, and I look back, it felt like I was 20 yesterday. Come on. Time flies. Bye. Your time is short, man. Spend it doing the right thing, building the kingdom of God. You will be so thankful for hearing this and doing this one day. Your life is a vapor, remember. Jesus is not only the creator, he's the recreator. Dirt. He made us out of dirt. Dang it. That's talent right there, isn't it? Right? All right, I want to show you one more thing. And this is, sometimes you read these stories and you pick out the principles that, and nature and the character of Jesus he's trying to teach us, right? But sometimes you just need to stand back and look at the whole 41 verses or the whole discourse in one picture. And here's what I want you to see. Jesus saw a need, right? Through his spiritual eyes. He met that need. And in meeting that need, he opened up an opportunity for this individual to be saved. And he was, in fact, saved. Are you following me, man? Oh, that I would have that heart. Oh, that I would have that vision, that perception of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I would look at these people, these alcoholics, these drug addicts, these homeless people, because I'll be honest with you, a lot of times we see this person sitting on the side of the road, got a sign, he's begging for money, and all we see is a lazy, no good bum. You know what Jesus would have saw? An opportunity for God's glory to be displayed. We see things different. We see things wrong this morning. I want you to know that as a church. We need to start seeing things as Jesus seen. Listen, Jesus doesn't want you to help everybody. Maybe he just wants you to pray for them. But he does want you to do this. See them through his eyes and not the world's eyes. Amen? This world is not a safe place. Haven't you noticed? All right? So you got to be careful today what you do and how you do it, especially if you're a female. You follow me? But listen, man, if you're in tune with the Spirit, in tune with that voice of God, and you know what it feels like or what it sounds like, God will not put you in a dangerous situation. Amen? But if you don't hear God, you keep going. You keep walking. Amen? You don't pull over somebody anymore unless God tells you to. Are you following me? But if he tells you to, man, pull over. If he tells you to stop for someone, stop for that person. But listen to me too. Understand this. When you do, it will cost you. It will cost you. Amen? It will cost you something. Are you willing to pay the price? That's why we don't stop. Come on. I ain't got time. It'll cost me time. I ain't got the money. It'll cost you money. It'll always cost you something. It's not a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you something. Amen? If you would, stand up. Thinking about taking this dirt right here, and I'm going to go home and make me another wife. Just kidding, man. Just kidding, man. You guys know I got the best wife. Huh? Just amazing when you really stop and look at this dirt and understand that God made you and I out of that dirt, man. It's amazing. Huh? Yeah, and then I'm about to go back to the dirt. So if I'm not here next week, you know why. Look at me in the backyard. I'll be under this. Anyway, man, listen, Christians, it's important that you and I see things the way we need to see things. All right? That's the greatest challenge here today, because none of this happens if Jesus doesn't see through spiritual eyes. None of this happens. They walk right on by. But Jesus sees through spiritual eyes, and he wants you and I to see through spiritual eyes as well. Remember, your time is short, man. If you're not serving in the kingdom, if you're not furthering the kingdom, here's what I want you to know. You are wasting your life. Oh, Pastor, I'm putting money in the bank. I'm getting me a bigger house. I got me a different new car. You're wasting your life, because that's what the world does, not what God's children do. Amen? God wants you to have nice things. There's no doubt about it. Don't get me wrong there, because he does. But listen, what you got to ask yourself, am I doing anything for the kingdom? Huh? Because we all should be doing something in service to the kingdom of God. Amen? Maybe, you remember what David said in Psalm 51 after he got caught in his sin with Bathsheba and murdering of Uriah? He said, God, create in me a clean heart. David's heart had been darkened. What do you think about that? So what David is really asking God to do is recreate in him the heart he had before that sin had darkened it so much. Maybe you need to ask God that this morning. Amen? There's always something to ask God. There's always something to pray to God for, isn't there? Pray for the people that are sick. Pray for your husband if he's not here this morning. Amen? Man, there's always something to pray for, isn't there? Just remember, man, Jesus saw a need, met a need, opened a door of opportunity for someone to be saved, never saved. You never know what listening to God will do, but it will produce good things. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for this time you've given us, Lord, and we thank you for the story of the blind man and the principles, and thank you for showing us your character and your nature, Lord. We were created, Lord, saved, and now we're being sanctified and transformed into your image. Lord, help me to see things only from the Spirit, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, convict me when I don't, because I know there's times when I don't. Lord, I need your help in every single area of my life. I need your guidance in every single area of my life. Help me, Lord. Help us all this morning, Lord. Point out to us the things that we need to change, Lord. This is the opportunity now. We open this time, we give it to you, Lord. And thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.